Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Where are we right now?
I'm in Montreal. This is my house. My internet in the studio is a little choppy, so I decided to stay here.
You're based in Montreal. We're in your house. Is the studio close by?
Yeah, I'm very lucky. So, my studio is like 5 minutes away from my home. In my land, it's like between my land and Little Italy, which is quite pretty, the center of what's happening in Montreal, central area of where everything's happening, kind of.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. When
Yeah.
did you move to Montreal?
I moved here about 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yes.
From.
From Korea. So I was born there, grew up there, studied there. So I'm full-time Korean, I often say.
Full-time Korean. Love that.
But yeah, and in my 20, I travel a bit. I lived in other country. As well in Australia for a few years, and yeah, and then yeah, 10 years ago I decided to move out of Korea, mainly because of the work culture, intense work culture in Korea.
I
So
heard
yes.
the intense work culture in Korea. I heard it's like really I've been to Seoul last year and I love it. I want to go again.
Yeah.
But I wish I could live there. That would be great. But I heard that the work culture is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Seoul is really fun and very exciting. Like, there's a lot happening all the time. I have lived in New York like briefly, and it really feels like Seoul a little bit. I don't know if everyone would agree, but that's how I felt. It's fun, but I would say the best is to live there, but not working for people in Seoul.
I believe that. I believe that.
That in Seoul, everything can get done very quickly. It's really fun to live. It's very convenient. You also, if you're working there, the expectation is also high. So,
Oh, man.
yes.
I heard that as in like different countries, like even if you're like I guess an expat or whatever, it's like different, you know, when you go and you work for a company, like your salaries are different, you know, and it's just so unfair.
Yeah, there is a different cush like layer to the working culture.
Just like everywhere, you know, not just in Seoul. Man, how are we gonna fix that? We have no idea. And are we gonna fix it on this episode? No.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's getting even crazier with all the freedom we have as a remote worker. Like, yeah, it's like the yeah, it's getting more complex, I find. But yeah.
Yeah. I believe that you also lived in other countries, so you also lived in Australia. You lived in New York. Where else?
Living is just like Australia, Melbourne, and New York. I have like travel, but that's more like couple of months, so I wouldn't consider it as a living place. Yeah.
No, totally. I've been doing this like Wear Many Hats World Tour. So we've been traveling all across the globe. And the one thing I'm gonna run into a bunch of digital nomads. And I'm not gonna say that they're insufferable, but like they are when talking to them, I don't know how they do it. Like I don't know how you're supposed to have like a great time where you're at and like also work, but your mind is constantly on work the whole time. Also, what I've learned about digital nomads is that they actually hate where they live.
They do?
Yeah. They just like they just travel a lot and they like, you know, they work and travel or whatever. But it's because they like kind of they hate their like home base. They're like, I gotta get out of there.
Right. It's hard to grasp, like, because this became such a norm nowadays. I think, yeah, I mean, I did I did a little bit of digital nomad life in my early 30 for very briefly, and I didn't enjoy that, mainly because I'm very the community is very important for me, and I find that I'm very slow traveler as well, so it was like it was not like I need a lot of time to actually feel connected to the place and meet people there, and so it wasn't really my thing. But all this to say, I think, yeah, when you have so many options, you wanted to choose the best out of everything. You wanted to have
Totally.
good weather, you wanted to have the, I don't know, the all the convenience that you want. We are able to do it these days, right? So it gets a little bit chaotic.
It
But
totally
I'm
does.
sure there is people who choose to do so because they love traveling rather than hating their home, I hope.
I would believe that too. I'm definitely. I would agree with that too, but and you know, because like they love where they're at, and so they probably like sublet their places or whatever. But yeah, it was just when I was running into these like digital nomads, also like calling yourself that sounds not it, you know, it's just not it. But when you were traveling around or like working at that time, were you also in sculpture back then too?
No, so
Love
my
it.
life before ceramics. So I'm ceramist, and I work with the clay. I'm sculptor, designer, artist. However you would call it. But before I was in film, so I used to make documentary film. So that's my kind of past life.
So that's why I asked, only because I've been meeting so many ceramicists that have a past life. Mainly ceramicists. It's that's the thing. I wasn't when I was like, okay, all right, my Kim, hold on. Was this from the beginning of time? But a lot of people, it's not from the beginning of time that I all the ceramicists that I've and sculptures that I've came across with. But yours is definitely very exciting.
Thanks. It's true that, I mean, yeah, I think a lot of in like a lot of people in our field, they have a lot of hats. I mean, that's literally your podcast name. But yes, I do. I can see that ceramist having a lot of past lives.
No.
Myself, yeah.
No, pun intended with the film. This is not affiliated. I have said this before to a lot of people that, look, I'm no like guru or anything like that. I don't like can tell the future or anything, but I just feel like in everyone's life, there is like a different time, you know? And just like, there's so many different stages. You don't have to stay at the same. I just feel like different generations, like they go by the book or something. But now us, you know, we play by our rules.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this topic particularly is like really like has been in my on my mind for a long time. Like, you know, like this, yeah, this I thought so much about because I mean, I call myself now ceramist or like sculptor, but I don't like necessarily feel that that's me, like that is my, like, you know, tag that explains my self, like really completely. You know, I since I was young, I was always interested in a lot of different things, and I think in 20, one of the hardest thing for me was like deciding, like having this pressure of deciding one career, and like, you know, really like built my whole identity around that one name. And I mean, I did film like a documentary making, but I never felt like, oh, I'm a documentary filmmaker. I used to call myself, I make documentary films. And for the ceramic as well, like I, for the beginning, for the many years, I used to say, I make ceramics. This doesn't, yeah, I don't define myself as a one thing, kind of, yeah, that's me. So yeah, I think I just feel like, humans are, maybe it's not nature, like I mean I don't think it's not natural for a human to just like do one thing in life and like just be very sharp at it. I mean, I under it makes sense that it works better in a society, and it's like we're gonna become better at it, you know, and it's more efficient for the whole society as well, but does it yeah, are we designed to live that way? I don't know. I think some people yes, but some other no. So yeah.
Really, I mean, to do the same thing every single day, I couldn't do that. Also, when you're like a kid, you know, when you're a child, like you always want to try new things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I think it's really the like depends on like personality. Some people enjoy like more routine over like, you know, others than others. And I'm definitely someone who have a lot of variety of interest in life, and that's like kind of how I wanted to like live my life, conduct my life, if I may say. Like I wanted to be good at, you know, cooking, I don't know, making my clothes, making my furniture, and you know, I and also like ceramic, and then I'm also interested in like, you know, art in other mediums, so yeah, it's just I feel that's yeah, I think we're a very complex being to be just to be doing one thing, that and that's my humble opinion. Yeah, but I mean there is like a, certainly like this advantage or struggle that we have to live, being this like multifaceted person, because you know, I especially I'm from culture where I was constantly told to be good at one thing and like only good at one thing, and that's the kind of culture like it's changing now, but that's at least that was what it was like growing up. I remember often I was told from my boss or like senior, like, oh Mie, like you're gonna, like there's this even saying in Korean, like, oh, like people with a lot of talents could get could die of starvation. So it's
That
really
was the
being culture, strict culture. So yeah, so I had to like push through and like to be yeah, to respect, I guess, like my authenticity, like stay authentic to myself.
And that's sometimes very hard.
Yeah, it is hard. It was hard, and so I didn't talk about this before with you, but like I actually literally like thought about writing a like essay on this like the like multi-identity and how it is hard to like navigate through in the society, and like I wanted to just like connect with more people who have this kind of have a saying in this and like connect with them, but so that I was really happy to happy when you reach out to me and found out your podcast.
Well, that's what we're here for. It's Rashad, and this is Wear Many Hats presented by Disarm. You can check out all the episodes of the Wear Many Hats podcast on all platforms and at wearmanyhats.com. Rate and comment the Wear Many Hats show on Apple Podcasts and drop 5 stars on Spotify. WMH and Disarm is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you. Mia Kim is a multidisciplinary artist, primarily creating ceramic sculpture and limited design objects. I crossed paths with him through the internet via friend and guest of the show, Cameron Morris, where they both share a similar minimalistic lifestyle in Montreal. A few of my favorite archive pieces in her collection include the Flux 2, Moon Jar series, the Basso series, but everything in between, very beautiful. Please welcome Mia Kim to Wear Many Hats.
Hello.
Hello, hello. To start off, yes, the archive pieces, they look like moon rocks. They look amazing. And apparently we just landed on the moon.
Thank you.
So I thought it was very fitting.
Mm-hmm.
The pieces, they just keep coming.
So you're based in New York, right?
I am based in New York.
Okay, fun.
Where does it seem like I'm based in?
I thought you were between LA and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I get LA a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you from New York, or did you live another? Have you lived in another city?
I was born in Delaware, but I grew up in Philadelphia.
I see.
So I lived in Philly all my life, and then I moved to New York. But people think I have lived in LA. I just go to LA like 5 times a year, every year, for the past like decade. But I don't live in LA.
I see.
Yeah, I'm not an LA guy though. I can't do it. Do you? Part of our Wear Many Hats World Tour, we stopped in Montreal. We loved it. It's very clean. It's very bikeable. Do you drive in Montreal?
Oh, I mean, I don't own a car. When I need a car, I use Communauto, which is kind of shared car sharing kind of system. I bike everywhere. I walk everywhere. It's true. Like Montreal is really bike friendly city.
It really is, and the air is clean.
Oh.
Like you guys, the food is great too. The food is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, food is good. It's a lot of European influence. Mm-hmm. So I would say like European is really good.
Uh-huh.
But then Asian. I had to sometime go to New York too. It's a
really story. I love that you mentioned that, because I just got a tattoo yesterday from my friend Noel, and he's moving to Copenhagen, and that's amazing. But when I heard that, I was like, he's also Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bro, Like, what are you gonna do with the Asian food? Like,
Yeah, I know. It's a struggle was real. Like when I first moved here 10 years ago, it was like so. There was no not so many just Korean restaurant. It was like Japanese, Korean, like Vietnamese, Thai. So you see the you can imagine kind of. So but like now it changed a little bit. It's getting much better. But I would say you need to cook your own food.
Really? So you cook all the time?
I love cooking. I mean, yeah, I cook banmal, yeah, all the time. And it's a kind of running joke among my friends when like because people often ask me like, oh, where do you go to eat Korean food? Like, what is best like place to eat? And I used to say, my house, I'm sorry. And then like yeah, with that I start to do the like pop-up in my house and have pop-up dinner at my place. Invite like a bunch of different like strangers and having dinner night at my place.
So when you have the pop-up dinners, do you serve all of, I mean, first off, that sounds amazing. I would love to go to one of your pop-up dinners. That sounds, I'm there. But do you also serve the food on your ceramics, on the plates that you make?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Damn.
Yes, it's fun. I really like that kind of gathering. Hosting that kind of gathering really is really fun. And I extended the idea a little bit. And I would like have on like other artist friends like work like in during the at on the for the dinner as well. Like once I work with my good friends Miriam, she does natural dyeing, so I worked with her. We like made a nice how do you say napkins, like a table napkins dyed by her, and we use that for the pop-up. So it's like you can come and yeah.
How many times do you do this pop-up? And does
So
it
I
have a name?
yes, it has a name. It's called Minus Kitchen. Minus the name comes from my I used to mention like minimalist living. I never like saw myself like call myself minimalist, but yes, it's like that concept. Because in the pop-up sorry if I'm a little bit mumbling a little bit because there's a lot of I'm very passionate about Korean like cooking in general, also Korean like culinary heritage. So you can stop me if I go nerd out too much.
No, please do. Please do.
Okay, so I mean so Korean like I make all the sauce, like a miso, we call it doenjang, which is Korean version of miso.
I just had some.
Yeah, you did?
Of course.
Nice. I like you more now.
Yeah, no, I'm very familiar, and it's one of my favorites. But to have
That's
that
cool.
at Minus Kitchen, everyone's having a treat so far.
Yeah, so yeah, I ferment my sauces, so doenjang and gochujang, which is fermented chili sauce, and also soy sauce. And this is like it's really like fundamental base of Korean cuisine, in Korean cuisine, like same dishes could tastes really different because that fermentation is normally traditionally done in-house. And because it's a wild fermentation, like taste is never the same. So if you're eating same, even if you're eating same dish at your mom's place or your aunt's or your grandma, it never tastes really the same. So like, and I find like when you have this like good base, like good ingredients, simple, you know, but good ingredients, like, you know, that's what brings the best. And that's really the core of Korean cuisine, I find. And sadly, it's almost impossible to have this kind of like, you know, food, Korean food that is made with a real, like a sauce and, you know, real fermented ingredient is impossible to find outside of Korea. So I started ferment this when I came here, and like because this is part of my culture that I'm really like proud to share,
totally,
which is hard to be found outside of Korea. So that's how I started, and that's why I called it Minus Kitchen. Like, you know, I like instead of like adding more, like I find like less is, you know.
That's so good. You just so I'm just trying to picture your kitchen, and like I'm to all this is I'm like closing my eyes and I'm just like imagining what the kitchen, it's just like the smells, you got kimchi, you got everything going, it's like a whole process in there.
Yeah, it's a fun, and like I think, you know, nowadays like people, like we're like, you know, people like things become like kind of chore, like going to market, buying your ingredients, like you know, taking time to like prepare your, like, you know, ingredient and cook, like this been like people are more used to like outsourcing the skills, like takeout or I don't know, like going out on a restaurant, and like I really like I'm a little bit domestic. That's the domestic side of it, and I really love that that process of it. I like, you know, putting my time and energy into it, and I think that's way I share my also love with my people that I care. Like, you know, I invest my time and energy, and that process is really like I really enjoy that, you know, process, like the time. So yeah, sharing that is really fun. Yeah, people come, and like, you know, also like it's fun to meet, like it's fun way to meet like strangers.
Right. I love that you said, yeah, everyone's outsourcing these days. Yeah, you don't really hear people in big cities saying, oh, I picked this from my garden, or like I picked, you know, these peppers. I had a pepper or like something out of my fire escape. I was growing some vegetables, and here's some vegetables. When you hear that now, it feels like such a long time. Like, wait, you have a farm? Like, what? Like, I thought you were just like getting dirty and just like taking the subway and doing your day to day life, but like you have the time to like do this too as well. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, not like farming is kind of like, you know, there's more condition to it.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Have the land, you have to have the, that's another thing living in the city. But like, even just like going out for grocery, people like, I think you like, yeah, like this, I don't know how you call it, cooking material delivery service. Man, when I saw that coming, like 15 years ago, I was like, who would do that? Like, I couldn't understand because for me, going to market, actually like picking different like, apple or different like eggplant, and like seeing which one is like more fresher, and like smell it and feel it, and choosing, like process of choosing and going to market itself is really fun for me and such a treat. And I was like, oh, people now like don't want to do this anymore.
Right. Yeah, you have like someone, you're putting all your trust in the delivery guy, like the delivery person just picking a thing, where it's like what we do is like when we pick up the vegetable, we're like shaking it, we're like, feeling it. We can tell like how old it's been or its lifespan. Yeah.
Yeah, so I yeah, I mean, like I don't, yeah, I think this like this is like small, like habit of life or routine of life, but does like I think also routines like is also like we talk about like food system, we talk about like environment, like it's crisis and everything, but I really take it, I don't want it to sound like too serious, but like I say like we I think like those changes comes from like individual action every day. Like if we're like so disconnected with our like source, like everything we consume every day, like it's I think having this connection, like go to market at least and like have those like the connection with your produce or a producer if you go to farmers market, or even better, like participating in a community, a garden, or the like see, I don't know if I personally in the summer when it's possible in Montreal, I like having a direct contact with my farmers, and like I buy like a panier, like organic basket, so like having like buying like having more connection to your source and the person who's involved in the process of like providing for you, I think this like we can of you can make a difference in the whole system by making different choices.
I agree. I've been actually looking into that with like beekeepers. I'm trying to get my like honey from the source.
Fun.
I'm a huge honey head.
All right.
Yeah. I love honey so much that it's like part of my daily thing. I put honey in my matcha. So, and I'm always running out of honey. And so now I'm like, no, you know what? I gotta go to the source. I gotta find my. So I've been like, I have some local beekeepers that I'm trying to connect with. And so I know exactly what you mean. But also, before I forget, as well as honey to the source, matcha, I'm also thinking about starting my own matcha company too, and I'm just like really into matcha. It's been for quite some time. I just remembered that you had that Korean drink. You please drop that powder. What were you drinking? I mean, I asked.
Okay, we
I
should
was
definitely talk out inside and outside of this podcast. Yes, what was your question? Tell me.
No, please. So you also you're into food and drink and as well, and like your ceramics, or like you go to different places with like a beautiful aesthetic and like have amazing glassware and everything above that, but you were also drinking this drink, this powder, and I had to hit you up. I was like, wait a second. What is that? That looks amazing, and I want to drink that.
Sure, we can fix this problem. Yes. So that drinks that you saw is called sukcha in Korean. So this is in English mugwort. Mugwort tea. Mugwort is a herb. So in Oriental medicine, it's often used as a medicinal herbs. So this has elements that it warms your body. So it's really good for women, also good for winter, etc. But yeah, so like I have this crazy producer in Korea. He live one of the cleanest like mountain in Korea, southern part of Korea, and he produced this like he sukcha Mogul tea, but only savage. So like it, these herbs grow in the beginning of spring. So he would collect the savage, the wild mugwort, and like he would like there's a process to it, so I'm not gonna go into detail, but like he would ferment a little bit, like dry and steam, dry steam, few process of it, repeating a few this process few time, and yeah, then you have this mugwort, and I've been drinking his tea like for so long. I really love it, and a lot of my friends like love it. And so I'm in actually process of like importing this tea. And
Whoa.
I wanted to like do a tea gathering, yeah, in my apartment at some point in the summer, spring summer.
Was where when you were drinking that tea, was it at a cafe or was that?
That story that you saw it on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't my friend's house.
Damn, that looks so good. Just everything around it. Like right there, the setting. And I think it's just the way you made it. Like it was so calming. And I was just like, I want that tea, like right now. But also the fact that tea is coming back hard, you know? Like everyone's all coffee, 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 you know, wine, 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 you know. These new drinks here and there, but you know, tea's not getting the love it needs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, tea is like I see. Yeah, I love like I mean tea, like there's no caffeine, so I guess I should call it herbal tea. It's not like matcha where there's still caffeine. But yeah, I mean I think like drinking is like such a social thing that
Totally.
time we just do it like because like that's your option there, right? Yeah, I really love this like sukcha because it's really like yeah, it's I'm very sensitive to caffeine, and like I as much as I love caffeine and matcha, like more so cafe, like it can be hard for me, like palpitation, and I you know sometimes it's like it excites me too much excitement. I have a lot of like mood swing, like you know you're like so excited, like a lot of energy, like you do a thousand things, and then like energy crush kind of. So yeah, I still drink coffee. I enjoy coffee, but I try not to drink it every day.
Same.
Yeah, right. Okay. So
I'm
yeah.
in that
So
same
I
boat.
think like those herbal tea is really good alternative for me. And yeah. I grew up in tea culture. Like we always drink tea,
Oh,
like
really?
herbal or not. So yeah.
I wonder now. I know we'll get back to the ceramics, but I have so much questions for just like how, I mean, not to you, but just to like, I guess, like, not society, but has things moved forward with all these new different things? Like, I remember matcha when it first came out, right? But matcha was such a big, it was always a big thing in Japan, but now into like the West. It's like this whole big thing, right? And now it's like you use this like special whisk, but that whisk has been around for a long time. And for us, you know, for like Americans or whatever, like that's such a new thing. You know? And I don't know, like we're always into like the new things. and we're trying to like make new things. Coffee, there's like a million coffee brands now. Like everyone makes coffee, which is cool. But I think it's interesting that like I think that whatever the new thing is, we want to like latch onto it, but like whatever that's different, you know, to outside people, they like want to try it, but like if it's too weird, they're not into it, you know. I'm always intrigued by like how humans interact with like new things and just like what keeps people going and what people are obsessed with. And I don't know. So when I saw that, I was just my eyes like lit up because I drink matcha in the morning, but when I as the sun goes down, I switch up to hojicha and I'm just like, who am I? Like, am I Japanese? I'm like, what's going on here? Like, why am I doing all this? And then just like, but I drink a lot of tea and I if and it's very easy. It's very easy to make, you know? Whereas for coffee, I don't drink regular coffee anymore. I drink Americanos and like I don't have an espresso machine in the house. I would have to get a whole thing. But yeah, that's the thing. But now speaking with all everything food related and then drink related, I think what's interesting is that when I go into my kitchen and I open up the cabinets, it's more so 75% other people's ceramics that I've collected from like all over the world, and like 25% like, you know, IKEA CB2 like other dishware. But it's like now it's just like all these different designs, different ceramics, and I'm just like, okay, I've turned into this person now. I need one of your pieces for sure. Do you get like, have you seen this? I don't know how when you started your journey, but do you, so in Brooklyn, in New York, New York and LA, there's been so many people getting into ceramics, getting into rock climbing, you know, getting into all these new things that were also a thing that's happened for a long time. Tennis. When you did ceramics, when you started ceramics, you were into it and you loved it, but you didn't think it was going to be like this whole thing.
I started ceramic really long time ago. So I started it like, let's see, 15 years ago, maybe, as a hobby. And when I was living in Melbourne in Australia. And I know exactly why now, like I have had some time to reflect on this. I mean, I always loved ceramic and I always had like really like big interest and love for crafts in general, like this kind of like beauty, the object, like object in like beautiful object in life. But I never dare myself to try ceramic when I was in Korea because there was just so much weight onto it. Like in my culture, especially ceramic, where there is like thousands and thousands of history involved. There is this expectation, like if you try ceramic, you have to be doing this forever and like only this.
Whoa.
It's very much like that. So because of that, like unconsciously, I never really thought of trying. But then when I was living in outside of Korea, I tried it as a hobby and I really enjoyed it, but I never really like got really good at it. Like it was like I tried a few months and then I dropped it and my life, like, you know, I went on with my life. And here and there, like after I went back to Korea, I tried to like, you know, do it again as a hobby again, but with my busy life, make, you know, in the TV production, like I couldn't like do much practice so much. But then since I moved here, I was working more like a 9-to-5 job at the time. And I wanted to change my career. So like, yes, to give you, to explain a little more. So I had my job, like, which was more my passion, which is filmmaking. And then I had my burnout. And then I moved to Canada and I started to do more stable. I wanted to do 9-to-5 and I wanted to do my passion project outside of job. So I had that life a little bit, and then I reached a point where I'm like, I can't do 9-to-5. I have to find another project. So there I said, oh, you know, I was picking from, you know, all the options that I had. And ceramic was one of the options because, I was, when I was doing 9-to-5, I had my studio where I go after work and just enjoy as a hobby. So yeah, there I just tried to, make it. That was that's 2017, I believe. So since then, I've been doing ceramic full time.
Glory years. Yeah, I always think how people come from work to going to other work right after. But the shift changes in emotion always. It's you're 9-to-5 deadpan, and then you go to another thing, you're just happy right after.
You mean ceramic?
Yeah. It could be with anything.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Once
I don't hits. Know. I feel like, I mean, at least for me, it wasn't so clear. Okay, now no 9-to-5, I'm happy doing something, and it was easy. I think it's there's always an up and down, to make a concrete something out of one thing when you're switching. But yes, yeah. But now I'm really, really happy. I'm very, happy with where I am at and what I'm able to do daily. And it's it took me a couple of years, at least, to find the right balance and create an environment where I can work more.
See, and that's what we like to hear on this show, only because the fact that I have a lot of friends that want it now, you know, they want what the happiness now. But I tell them it takes some time. That happened to me yesterday too, when I went to my friend's coffee shop and I was hanging out with another friend and guest of the show, and he was like, I want to be like you. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, I want to be where you're at right now. And I'm like, I was where you were at your age. And I'm not trying to be, I'm not even that older than him. And I literally said to him, saying, yo, I'm not trying to pull the old card or anything like that. I'm not trying to pull the when you were, when I was your age, I'm not that older than you. I'm 3 years older than you. But I was I was where you're at that age right there. But it was just, what's up?
Sorry. What aspect, I'm just curious, what aspect of your life that your friends were envying?
I think they were envying the fact that I'm traveling a lot right now and they're trying to understand how I do it. But you can't really just tell. It's just a whole process, you know? So it's because I think it's because of social media has heightened everything really, really to the max. And a picture now, you know how you have 10, you could put 10 photos in a carousel. Everyone knows that. But it feels like one photo, you know how they say one photo is a million, it means million different things or whatever. I just feel like the 10 photos I post in one caption or one carousel just like blows up in people's faces. And it's just like, maybe they think that like it's too, they're like, how are you doing this type of situation? Whereas like back then, which is not even that long ago, it just feels like a long time ago. I never really saw that with other people. Now I'm getting like, with social media, I'm getting like advice and different things that I never thought I'd be getting. I don't know if that's like a good thing either, but, and we all, some people hate the algorithm. Some people love the algorithm. I just get stuff that's like tailored to me and that I like, but I learn a lot from it. But just hearing from my friend being like, how I want to be like you, big bro. And I'm like, it was hard. It was hard to get here, but I love what I'm doing right now, but I'm still trying to figure it out as well. You know, that happiness or anything like that. But I mean, it takes some time. I feel like.
Definitely. And I think, you know, yeah, I think some happiness needs to be like déchiré, like, how do you say it? Deconstructed a little bit. You know, what is happiness for you? Like, what is the condition that you need to feel the happiness? Like, what is, and like, that's kind of hard question. Like, you know, you wanted to sit down and think, like, what is that you need for, you know, like for your lifestyle that you want? Like, it's different for everyone. Like, not everyone wanted to travel. Not everyone, like, some people like to like have their routine and like repeat, you know, like same bed every night. So like, yeah, everyone has a different, you know, condition for this. And yeah.
I need routine. I also love routine. Once I'm like out of routine, I need to, wherever I'm at, I need to go back into routine always. Or like, try to, it can't be all over the place. I feel like that's the same for you too. Like, you probably have, this is what I'm going to do.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I'm very, like, I can travel very well for a long time, but, and also like, I like changes, I like spontaneous, but I'm also very much of a routine person. I like my like morning thing that I do and evening. And yeah, I think it's like, yeah, I'm like that. But I'm curious, like, what is your like place where you wanted to go? Like, so you like traveling, you like you know, like in this, and like, what is your next like a direction like you wanted to go? Like,
I'm still trying to I'm still trying to figure that out, but also at the same time, I do know. It's just it's like hard to get it out, I guess you could say. But the traveling aspect is really funny. You know, I had a couple of years ago, I had a friend told me that I didn't like to travel. And I thought that was really interesting because I've been traveling all my life. But it was a weird thing to prove right now for some weird reason. And then also with one of my collaborators, he knows like I had a crazy health scare a couple of years ago, and you know, everyone knows that like life is short type of situation. And so once I got out of it and was back to like normal, I was able to like I traveled, I got it all in again. It's like one of those like weird, like, not like second chances type of situation, but it's like, yeah, this, if that can happen to you, it's like, right. Imagine, like, yeah, you kind of want to see the world. But then I have friends that now send me these funny reels of people because I'm a millennial, we've seen so much, apparently, you know, and like, yeah, and they name drop all of the different things that's happened during the millennial timeline. And they're like, with the world on fire, you know, all we do, like what we're doing is traveling. But I can't tell if it's like selfish or not. But but we're aware, you know. I think we have to be like self-aware and know. But that's like also part of the thing. But when I come back, I'm trying to still fill in this. There is still this hole that I'm trying to fill. Like, I mean, I feel like everyone can relate. But yeah, I'm not there yet. But people think that I'm there. Long-winded. But
Why do you think, I mean, why do you think people think you're there? I don't know. It's funny because
I think that's with everyone, right?
Yeah.
When they see a little bit of good, or when they see like you've accomplished something, just even for the part time, people are like, you're there.
There, what is there? Where is
what,
there?
What is there? Exactly. Who knows?
Maybe you are there.
Who knows? I feel like every day now it's really one of those, like, every day you gotta take every day slowly, but also at the same time gotta think of the future as well. I think one thing I'm not thinking of anymore, which is really good, no one has ever told me this, but like I used to think about the past a lot. Yeah. But now I don't think about the past anymore.
How did you change that?
I don't, man, I don't know. Mental breakdowns? Moving forward, that's okay. Basically it. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no one told me that to think about the past was a bad thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking about the past is like, the past is now fading from my memory. I don't know if that's happened to you, but there are different parts of my life I can't remember. Unless, like, I was talking to another friend and guest of the show, Jake Well, over the weekend about how he was telling me that his brother runs, you know, a marijuana farm. And it brought back to my memory when I was in my early 20s that I also worked on a marijuana farm, but I forgot about that.
Yes, I mean, yeah, the time.
That's just the times. Really. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I just like, do you forget about
certain about my test?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, but I think I'm more of a person who
honors the past.
Yeah, I mean, I cherish some of the memories, and I think, like, yeah, there's some core memories that I don't forget, but the older rest, yes, of course, you know, I'm getting older and older, so the small memories that doesn't like have so much meaning, I guess.
Meaning, true.
Yeah, it goes away.
It goes away. Is there a place you like to go to hang your hat at the end of the day when you're done doing some of your collections? Like, is there a place in Montreal, a special place you like to go to celebrate or come up with new ideas?
I like water, I like ocean, so I have a little spot in Montreal that I go. It's like a river, and I can swim there, and that's always like, it's refresh for me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
If you were to get a chest tattoo quote, what would it be?
That's hard. That's because I don't have any tattoo on me because I find it hard. It's like a big commitment, I find, to commit to one thing for whole your life. So if I had to, I would put three dots, kind of like reflecting, listening, like waiting for the next.
I like that. That's really good. Very calm. Well, hats off to you and everything that you do for some just are wearing many hat solutions. If this podcast was a sculpture, what would it be?
You mean the shape of it?
Yeah.
I see, very like it's low and kind of large plate that has a little like bump and heels. Yeah, kind of flowy shape. I don't know, it was just in my mind, in my head, just when you ask me.
No, that's very, very, it feels accurate. I feel like, yeah, if you were just get on the wheel and just like think of this podcast and that's what it came out to be. I see a collaboration in the works.
Oh, yes. I'd love to hear more about your tea business and everything. I'd love to be in the loop. Let me know how I can be updated with all those.
Course, coming soon, definitely.
Okay.
Would love that. My plug your socials, where can people find you?
My Instagram for ceramic is Mie Kim underbar. And yeah, the pop-up that I talked about is Minus Kitchen.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on Wear Many Hats. It was great to have you.
Yeah, it was fun talking to you. Thank you for having me.
Till next time, this is Wear Many Hats presented by Jasar, and I'm Rashad. Peace.